My name is Jan, and together with me, I have Alina and Liang. Alina is from the SharePoint organization here in the United States, while Liang and myself, we are from the FAST organization in Norway. I wanted to start off by telling you a little story. 4 years ago, I was at the SharePoint conference in Las Vegas. Anyone else who was there? Ah, great to see. I was there as an attendee. I was working as a software engineer, trying to make custom-made web parts for my customers. And while I was there, I experienced the excitement and all the passion that all the people there had. And I kind of got hooked. I really liked it. So I wanted to take a bet on SharePoint. And now, 4 years later, I'm standing here in front of you, trying to tell you all about all the cool things that we actually have made into the project, into the product. And I want to show you that my bet on SharePoint is a good one. And I want you guys, you also, to have a good bet on SharePoint. Today, we are going to explore new personal intelligent powered search experiences in Delve, SharePoint, and O365. This is an area where we have been working for years, both in the SharePoint organization as well as in FAST. And we are proud and excited to show you what we have coming up in our product. Since it's early in the morning, on a session that I've actually been, when I talk to you guys on the booth, I've called it the hangover session. We want to spend most of our time actually demoing all the cool stuff that we have now live in the product. But at the same time, we want to then demo the stuff that's coming out, the stuff that is still in the pre-validation, in the validation rings. And we want to show you this, because it's real code that is checked in that you can try out soon. After we're done with the demos, we want to show you the benefits of hybrid search. Not only to you as a user, but also for you who are SharePoint admins. Then we're going to move on to the growing service part and going to show you some of the advantages of us actually having a service that's up and running 24/7, making sure that you always update it to the latest bits. During that session, we're actually going to share some numbers about how the service is running. We're going to end our session with the roadmap, and we're going to take the questions towards the end. So please hold questions, and please have many questions, but please hold them. When you leave this session today, I really want you to have these takeaways. I want you to know that search is getting personal and intelligent. I want you to know that we have updated and improved our ranking and aligning the search experiences across SharePoint, Delve, and O365. We want to show you through the demos, and we want you to remember that search knows your context, whether it's from SharePoint, whether it's from a group, or email. As I said, we want you to know about the benefits of cloud hybrid search, as well as the advantages of running SharePoint search online. So how is search working today? Our expectations are that search is like consumer search. When you enter into the search box, you get what you want right away. The reason for this is that the reason why the consumer search providers can do this is that they leverage the wisdom of the crowd. And it's a big crowd. A big crowd that provides us a lot of queries and a lot of clicks to the same search results. So when the crowd searches for, if everyone's here searched for Ignite, you all end up on the same page. In the enterprise, we don't have that huge crowd to help us out. Because in the enterprise, and if we did have that huge crowd to help us out, it would probably not be all that helpful. Because the enterprise is about you. When you search for, if I go search for something like a status report, my query wouldn't, my result that I wanted wouldn't probably be the same that you wanted, because it's a personal query. So what we have in the enterprise is signals and relationships. And signal and relationships helps search understand you better. It understands you because we know what documents you viewed, who you email with, who you are collaborating on a document with, who's your manager, and actually who are the people that you're working with. Enterprise search is about you and what you care about, not what the rest of the world care about. Workday challenges. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's so much information. But today it's stored in silos. So if I want to find something, I have to jump through different search experiences to find my stuff. What we want to do, we actually want to break down the silos to be able to have one unified search. I don't know what I don't know. What should I search for? I know that there's some interesting information inside my company index, but how should I find it if I don't know about it? I want the relevant context to come find me. Enter the Microsoft Graph. It's all about people and things. The Microsoft Graph assists us in your searches. And make sure that the relevant content finds you. It filters out the noise. And make sure that you only see the stuff that you are actually permitted to see, and at the same time respects your privacy by not sharing what you viewed. In the demos that we're going to show today, we are using the Microsoft Graph to show that actually that content finds you. The demos will also show that we are aligning integration models across Delve, SharePoint, and O365, giving you a unified search experiences. We will also show you that, as I said, we're breaking down the silo, making sure that search finds the information that's relevant to you no matter where it's at. We're also going to show you that search knows your context. So because you have a different context, if you're searching in a files library or in a group, you have a different context than if you're searching from Delve or from other places like email. We will show you that. And at the end of the demos, Liang will show us how this all gets connected for the customers that are using hybrid. To illustrate all these demos and all the new information, all the new cool stuff that we actually have out in the product, we're going to use a scenario. Alina will start us off by introducing us to the characters that we meet in our story.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. So today, I'm representing Contalza Clothing Company. It's a very popular company, especially in Atlanta this week. So I'm sure you heard about it before. So for this company and for this demos that we'll be doing, I'm VP of marketing, and I'm currently working on launching a loyalty program. That loyalty program is important for us to make sure that we get to the right markets and we retain our customers. Jan is the project manager for the loyalty program, and Liang will be helping us to create an awesome app, because you cannot market anything to the millennials without an app. So let me jump over and do some demos. I get to my office, start my day. The first thing that I do is go to SharePoint Home. I'm sure you've seen this page. How many of you guys are already using it? It's been in production for a while. That's awesome. I'm actually super glad you're using it, but I'll still tell a little bit about what do you see there. So I land on this page. The page is awesome because that's how I can easily get back to the things that I'm working on, things that I'm actively doing. This frequent section is basically surfacing all the sites and groups and video channels that I actively participate in, view documents, edit stuff. And if you look at that, the first thing that shows up here is loyalty program group, because that's the group that I created for this project, and that's the group that we are using to store all our documents and have communications between us. Besides all of these awesome things, for each one of them, I have a couple of tidbits describing me what is going on in that specific group. All of those are powered by the graph. So Jan just mentioned to you that we are trying to get as smart as possible to make our users' life easier. So as a user, I really appreciate that I can get to this page and see all of the things that I'm actively using and what's going on in each one of them on the first glance. As you can see, I'm very active in a bunch of them. A lot of stuff that shows up is me, but other things that I'm a little less active in show also tidbits from other users. Beyond the frequent, I have the suggested section here. This is another graph-powered experience, and this is basically tailored to make sure that I'm in the loop with not only what I'm doing, but also what my peers are doing. So people who I work with frequently, if they're active in some sites, and the graph understands that this might be relevant to me, I might want to know about this. Those are the sites and groups that would show up in the suggested category. And for instance, I have a products video channel here that I, as a VP of marketing, probably should visit more often to make sure that we have the right content there. So this is the SharePoint homepage, but let's say that I'm working on a document for the loyalty program, and I want to get back to that document. So how do I get back to it? I'm zooming in so you guys can see a little bit better. I clicked into the search box, and the first thing that happens when I click on into the search box is I get a bunch of result suggestions. Those result suggestions show up even before I start typing. And those are basically based on what are the latest things that I've been touching and interacting with. Let's say that I'm looking for loyalty. As I start typing, I get this awesome as-you-type experience in the search box that gives me immediately result suggestions across sites and files. And I can just look at this and see that the deck that I was looking for, loyalty app promotion, is actually right there. So I didn't even need to complete the search and issue a full query. I just get what I was looking for in the search box itself. So basically, this is the refined scenario. I was looking for something I know that exists, I know that I touched it, seen it, and I just want to get back to it. And we are trying to make it super easy. Now, another thing that you guys don't see here, because it's a demo tenant, but you would see in your larger tenancies, is query suggestions. So to a degree, we are utilizing the power of a crowd. If you have a large tenancy and a lot of people are searching for a certain thing, query suggestions will show up on the top, suggesting what you might be looking for. So let's see, this is the loyalty app promotion that I was looking for. I can just open it from here and jump right into it. You don't really want to see that deck itself. Now, let's say that I'm looking for another thing. There was some market research that I want to get back to, or I know that exists, and I can type market. Let's assume I didn't find it in the recent results because I haven't touched it in a while. So I click and I issue a full search. When I issue a full search, I land on the new SharePoint home search experience. This is a new, modern, fully responsive, and as you can see, quick experience that surfaces the results that match my query in a very nice and clean way and consumable way, and we have some numbers to prove that. So What you can see here is results are broken up into four categories. There is recommended results. Recommended results are basically what you guys, if you've been using search for a while and you have a tenant admin for search admin, he can define query rules that say that for a certain keyword, I want this result to come back. This basically enables you to both surface results that are outside of SharePoint. So if you have some external portal somewhere, you can basically have it show up matching a certain keyword or keywords, or anything else inside SharePoint. It can also be a document or whatever else the admin thinks is suitable to match the query. So in this case, our admin said that for market, I want marketing and sales site to show up as a recommended result. So what we did, we brought forward the investment you guys already did with defining those results, or as they used to be called, best bets for the folks who have been around for a while. The second result block here is sites. Sites is actually something we didn't have before. And this is a result of feedback that we heard from users and customers saying that when I'm trying to learn about something, to discover something, it's not enough to just find the lead node, the document, or one single document, or one single page. Basically, what I want to find the place where I can learn more about that subject. And surfacing sites, which are containers, is a way to make it easier for the user. So if a site matches the query, it's likely to have documents and other resources that would be relevant for that query. The next thing that we have here is files. So files result block is what you would expect to see usually. It's all of the awesome things that you have in your tenancy. It's documents, list items, videos, web pages, everything that is kind of a piece of content that you might be looking for. And the last is the people. People, once again, are all of the people that match your query, and people matching is done both by the name and position, but also by a bunch of different metadata that is available, like skills and projects, etc. So what we have here, we have one page that kind of helps you to understand what kind of results you can find. If we don't have results in certain result block, in certain category, we will not show it. So you know when you issue the query, you know what kind of results you can find. Like going back, I'm looking for something about market, so I'll click to see all. Oh, sorry. One last thing that important that I forgot to mention. Here on the page, we have this link that basically will allow your users to go back to the classic search center. And the reason we have this is because we know that a lot of our larger customers invested in customizing search, building the right, building your own result blocks and building your own UX, customizing the search results. So we want to give users access to that customized search in case that they actually still didn't find what they're looking for and they need to go there. Now, let's say I'm looking for a Word document or PowerPoint Word document. I clicked see all on files results, and I have a bunch here. So instead of trying to find what I want, I can use refiners, because I know it's a Word document, to filter out the results to just the Word documents. Now, this refiner is a smart refiner. It will only show you types of results that are actually present in the results set. So if Word was not there, it would not show up. So let me filter this to Word. And here is the result I was looking for, the market segmentation for loyalty program. Let me pause for a second on this result and give you a little bit of details on that one. So if, as you can see, as you would expect, there are heat highlighting on the result itself. And if there was something in the summary, it would also would show up. The interesting thing, though, is that we're also surfacing additional information that was not available earlier, which is where this result is coming from. So this specific result is hosted in the loyalty program group. And we also allow you to click there to go to the container, to go to the place where the result is stored. Once again, supporting that scenario of I don't want just one result. I want to learn about an area. I want to learn more about this specific subject. The other thing we're showing here is who was the last person modifying this result and when this happens. And once again, you can click on this person and you will go to Delph profile and you can explore what other stuff this person is working on and doing. And Jan later on will give you a glimpse into how we are also improving the experiences and trying to make everything easier consumable by the users. So let's say I found my result and let's say I actually going to the loyalty program. Now I'm clicking something out of the, should work, but loyalty program is the thing that I want to explore more. I want to find what other results are in this group that might be relevant to me. So I clicked on the link and I am in the loyalty group right now. What you see here is another experience that is powered by the graph. So this is the new homepage that those of you who visited some of the SharePoint session earlier this week, you've already seen this page. This is the groups get sites page, the homepage for a group that is currently rolling out to production. This page, one of the things it has that is powered by the graph again is activity. So this allows you to understand what's going on in this specific group, who is doing what documents are getting touched, and basically understand what's going on. An anecdote about this is when I was working on the deck, I noticed that my manager edited the deck I was working on for the session today, and it was, without him sending me an email, it prompted me to check and see what comments or changes he's made. So while I'm on the group, I also have search. And here is the search that, you should probably, loyalty. Okay, misspelling. So that is also something we're working on fixing. In any case, this is the result for the search on for loyalty in context of this group. So Jan mentioned to you earlier in the introduction that we try to create experiences that feel unified, feel consistent, while still respecting your context. In this case, the context is the group. So the results you are seeing here are files on site loyalty group. And all of those are scoped to that site. What I can do from here is I can scope this out to all sites, which will basically bring it to the results that are across all SharePoint. So we have those connections going between the different queries and allowing us to move seamlessly across. So the user is not stuck. He can always try to change the query, increase his scope, decrease his scope, filter his results, etc. So that's on the web. Going back to my story, I had a very productive day at work. Now I am on my way back to a home on some kind of your favorite type of transport. Not driving, so I want to, I just realized that I'm missing a number. I was trying to finish something and I need to get some numbers from one of the decks. So the great thing is that we also have a mobile app. And I'm sure you've seen this mobile app before, but I will show a different pivot to you. This is the iOS app, so this is the production app. And this app, actually, when I land on it, I land on sites. But what I can do here is I can once again search. Yeah. I need to work on my spelling and typing. So when I search, I get the results that match my query. And the awesome thing about this is that the results are organized very similar to how they're organized on the web. So it's a predictable and consistent experience for me. I have four result blocks, I have site results, I have file results, it will take a second to load, and I have people results, and I have recommended. This one doesn't have recommended, so I won't go there. But in any case, the results are there. They're organized in a similar way, so it's really easy for me to find what I was looking for. The other interesting thing in this is that if I start from people, for instance, I will land on a different tab. So that, once again, we are trying to align, but we are keeping your context. In this case, my context is people. So if I start my search from here and I type Dan, I get the results for people. I can also swipe and get to results in files and sites, but I land on the scope that I started from so that I'm in kept in context as I move. What I won't show you, because for some reason I'm having trouble connecting to the app, some network issues, is that we also have an Android app. So the iOS app is already available in production, and the Android app is currently in preview, but that app also will keep the same level of consistency. So you'll get your search results, they will be categorized into four results blocks, and it will be easy for you to find stuff. Worth mentioning that iOS app is currently using your local stuff, your local results, but the Android app is also using to power the query box, search query box. It's using the graph to bring the personalized results to you, same way as the web does. So those results in that smart search box are powered by the graph again. I think I forgot to mention that. Now let me switch to the deck and give you a couple of glimpses into what we actually did to modernize SharePoint search. So we worked hard on modernizing SharePoint search, and you've heard throughout the week this week that there was a lot of investment in modernizing SharePoint all up to work with those new modern and responsive experiences. We needed a search experience that matches them. So the goals that we had in mind when we were approaching this were the three goals that you have here. Easy refine. So the smart query box is something that we're really proud of. And the goal for that box was that if you're looking for something you've already touched or seen recently, you shouldn't need to issue a full search query. It should be at your fingertips. And that's what the smart search box with personalized result is there for to achieve. We improved relevance and performance. That one is actually benefiting not just the new experience, but the ranking at least is benefiting also the classic search experiences. Better ranking model means easier to find results, improved success rates, and we decreased latency. And once again, search is available on any device. Not only our web experiences are fully responsive, we have native experiences available through our apps. Let's dig deeper, a little bit deeper into this. The easy refined. So as I mentioned, the search box is powered by the graph. We're basically taking signals from the graph to understand what you've been recently touching and doing. And we provide you result suggestions that match your query based on that information. The important thing, there are a couple of important things for a proper search box experience that is really useful. First is as you type, so it has to be super quick. The latency is a make it or break it thing in this case. So as you could see, and as you can probably experience in your own tenancies, this actually works. When I was typing my result, I got my results, they were filtered, it was all an as-you-type experience. And the other thing is personalized. Those results will only be relevant and they will achieve the scenario if they're personalized to me. So for now we are basing it on the graph, but we are continuously working on improving that. And actually we're currently working incorporating some Bing technologies into the query suggestions, result suggestions, so that you have a more consistent experience across different experiences, SharePoint, Delve, and other O365 experiences, and but you still maintain that as you type a thing, and it's in context. So when I search from SharePoint Home, the suggestions are scoped to all SharePoint, and they're prioritized by sites and files, because that's usually your context when you're in SharePoint. If you search in from site, once again, the results will be, the suggestions will be there, but they will be scoped to that specific site, and they are also available on the mobile devices. The next thing that we did is The next thing that we did is the improving relevance and success rates. So I'm very proud to tell you that the new SharePoint Home search results page actually improves the success rates and the time to success is compared to classic search by quite a lot. So our success rates are 8% higher than the classic search page, and our time to success is 35% lower. This can be attributed to a number of things, especially as you think about time to success. Time to success is influenced by the fact that the new UX is client-side rendered UX. So it's much, much quicker. It's quicker, it renders immediately, and this is what impacting the time to success. The other thing that is impacting time to success is the fact that we organize the results differently, and it's easier for people to find the right category to search and just narrow their results to the right thing quicker. The next thing that I want to talk about is the improved out-of-the-box rank model. That improvement actually benefits both the classic search experiences and the new search experiences. So our research team and the search team worked really hard on coming up with about 20 different ranking models. And we used both machine learning and A/B testing in production to evaluate the best ranking model to ship to prod. So what we basically did, we first ranked them and we chose a number of models that were leading, and then we deployed them to production to different parts of our production tenants, and we compared how they are impacting this result, the success rates on those, to choose the one that will be shipped to all prod. So this is really cool because we're using real data to decide and to experiment, and I think this is benefiting everyone. The last thing I want to talk about is the new experiences. So yeah, I think you probably heard me saying 4 or 5 times, modern, clean, responsive, new experiences. The important thing here is that they are consistent and that we're by no means done. So we are very much open to your feedback, and we continuously monitor all of our feedback channels to learn what you guys are looking for, what you're happy about, what you're unhappy about. So please do give us feedback. On each page, you have this small feedback button that's not there because you're showing slides, but on all the web experiences and on mobile, you can give us direct feedback, not just the IT folks. The IT folks have other channels, but even users. And we monitor that. And for instance, an example of things that we will be shipping soon enough, can't give you an exact date, but something we're working on is additional refiners for the new search experiences and result preview. What used to be on hover, but probably will be a different model, but you'll have a result preview so you can sneak peek into result before clicking on it. So once again, this is work in progress, and please do provide us with the feedback that you have. So let me go back to our story. Jan is our project manager, and he's ramping on the project, and he'll show you how he does that.
Thank you. Thank you, Alina. There you go. Okay, so Alina's been showing you a lot of stuff that's live in the product today. Now we're actually going to dive into the demo to one of our demo tenants that's in pre-production. So if this goes wrong, I'll switch to my backup. But if this goes right, it's really cool. Okay, so I'm the project manager of this this new team, and I have no idea about the team, and I know a little bit about what I'm actually going to be a project manager for. So my method of finding out something is about going to that person and looking at what is that person working on, what document does it have. And since Alina has been working on this project, my first thing is to go to Delve. And hopefully all of you have heard about Delve. I have almost everyone, yes, almost. So I'm going to be pretty short on telling you what Delve is, but I think it's important to just state it. Because Delve has been around for 2 years. We launched it 2 years ago, and we have worked really hard on it, so I hope you use it. And Delve is a client on top of the Microsoft Graph. It shows you what's trending around you. And I think it's really cool, because when I open up Delve, it actually shows me all the documents that I have access to. And this is important, only documents that I have access to. And they're ranked by what the activity that goes around that document, how close the person that's working on that document is to me. So it's a really nice way for me to actually go in the morning, look what's going on in my company, or what should I know of? Content actually comes, finds me. Now, the other thing I wanted to show you in Delve is the profile page. Let's go to my profile page. And on my profile page, it's a nice way for me to get back to the documents that I worked on. So it's let's call it MRU. It's a most recently used. So I can go here and I'll look for that. It's also a nice way for me to present myself for the company. So I can actually go into my profile, update the different kind of experiences that I have, the different projects I've been working on. Also insert all the skills that I have. So you can actually use it for skill search. Another thing that's pretty cool is that I can see the people that are working closest to me. And this is not my org chart, because my org chart is down here, and I have like a Lincoln and a John here, but none of them are, I'm actually working with them. So what I wanted to do is go back to the story. Okay, let's go try a query. I wanted to find more about Alina. So the first thing I had to do is to go into the search box. And as you see, let's zoom in. Right away, I get zero term suggestions. I haven't even typed anything, but the offer graph knows that you work closest with these three people. You should probably see, look, if you're looking for something, you're probably looking for some of them. Or maybe you're looking for one of the boards that you have created or you are recently been working on. But this time, I'm actually looking for Alina, so I'm going to start typing. So I type AL, and right away, there we go, the graph knows who I'm looking for. It actually finds the person right away. So that, I think that's really cool. It's responsive, it gives you what you want right away. So let me go into Alina's profile, since she wanted me to join the project. Let's see here. So once I'm coming to Alina's page, I actually see that she has a lot of interesting documents here. She has a document about the loyalty program, and she has a loyalty program learnings. And maybe I should add the marketing goals as well to a board that we've been working on. As you see down here, we have a board called loyalty program. I'll go in here. I'll start typing loyalty. Loyalty. There we go. A little too small. Let's just zoom it up so we can see it. Yeah. And actually, as I was typing, since this pre-production, as I was typing, it came up as a suggestion. And I think that's pretty cool. That helps you find what you're looking for really fast. So I added this to this board. I'll close this down. So now I can, if I want to, I actually can go back to that board and to find the information that I want. When I was talking to Alina, ramping up on the project, she told me that I will be working with Liang. I've seen Liang before. He works in the IT department, I know, but what is his role in this project? I need to find him. Need to find him and figure out what I need to do. So I'll go into the search box again. I'll search for Liang. There we go. I actually misspelled his name. Did you see that? Did you see that? Let me do it again.
You should remember that.
I actually misspelled his name again with an extra character, and Search actually understood what I was looking for. This actually shows us that we are now supporting fuzzy matching on people. And that's something that a lot of people need, because since I'm a Norwegian and Liang is from China, it's kind of hard for us to know exactly how to spell each other's name. Let's show you another example that just shows you the power of this. Here I'm searching for Alan. It's the first letters of Alina's name, so she's obviously up the top, at the same time as she is one of the people that I'm working close with, so she should be at the top. But at the same time, we see Liang is there. Anyone want to know why? If you shuffle those four letters around, you actually get Liang's name. And I think that's really cool as well. Okay, so I go to Liang's page, trying to figure out why are you working on this project? So I can see here from his skills that he is actually an app developer, or he works with, one of his skills is app development. Cool. So you're in the IT department and you know that. And I can also see that he's working on the loyalty program app, so that's probably why he's in the project. I know that we have in the company a lot of people that are app programmers, and Alina told me that we are going to work with a person called John. So I go search for John, because I want him to know about the loyalty program board that we have created, so I want to share that with him. So I go into the search box again, type John, and I get these three people as suggested. No idea who they are. Or the first one I know, the second one I've heard of, and the third one I don't know. So I'll actually go to the search page and look for him. And as we can see here, we have a lot of Johns at the company, actually more than eight. And I don't know which one of them is the one I'm looking for. So because he's an app developer, I refine my query. I'll type in app as well. I'll search for John App. And right away, there you go. I found John App. Or I found John that he's an app developer. So as you see, we actually get hit highlighting not only on the person name, but also on the skill and on the title. As I said, this is in pre-production, so and it's actually working at the moment, so let's not jinx it. So if I want to go to John's profile page, I just click him. Let's see if we can find some more things about John. We see that he works on programming on the iOS app. That's pretty cool. And we see that he actually reports to Alina. So that's probably the John that she wanted me to get in contact with. I'll just contact him right away and share the loyalty program board that we just created. That's pretty cool. You can do that from sending a link. Okay, let's go back to the query. And I want to do another query that shows the result page a little bit better. So I'll search for program. And here we should have spelling correction. There we go. As we see here, we have aligned on the principle of having containers with search results, containing them to different types of search results. The first container we see up here is the people container. And as you see, as I'm scrolling up and down, you can actually see that the page is actually kind of responsive. And that's really cool, that it's not a set page. If you actually want to do stuff like this, it works. Works pretty good. I think that's cool. And you think it's cool, too. Yeah, I know. It's too early in the morning. You were probably out until 3 last night. I know some of you were. And we also have another thing that's pretty cool when you see the people profile here, that as I showed, you can click on Andreas and you get him right away and go to his page. Let's see it. And you can also see that if I click on his, like this, I see that Jon, he has mentioned that he has a skill, and his skill is actually program management. So I'll hit that one, and you see here that we're actually scoping our query to find people with that skill. And that's really cool, because now you can do that from your searches. You can actually go find skills. You don't need to create all this extra stuff. We give it for free. Or out of the box, out of the box. We get it out of the box. Okay, another cool thing is that if I really want to, I see that John has this skill, and I hover over the skill, you see that? Let's zoom in. I hover over John here, it says skills. I can actually press that skill, and I'm taken. Oh, did that look good? It looked pretty good. Let's try to do it again. I press his skill, I'm taken to his page, and I'm automatically scrolled down to the skills section. And that's like getting what you want right away, with one click, without needing to scroll down and try to find it. It shows you that the UX is really coming along, trying to be modern, trying to do what we wanted to do. Okay, so here's the next section, the documents section. As Alina showed you earlier, we are constantly trying to take your feedback and figure out ways to show document sections better. And this is our latest attempt. We show the document as we planned with hit highlighting both in the title as well as in the text. But we also try to put this one out, see here? Yeah. Trying to put where the document is placed. So here you can see that this document is placed in a site. It's called marketing campaign. We can just hit that and we'll go directly to that marketing campaign page or group. But what's also cool is that we can see Alina's profile here. And as Alina showed, it's only a way with a click of a button. And then you go directly to her profile page. I also want to mention that we have boards. We have a section for boards, so if there's boards there, the section will show up, and you can do as I did earlier, click that, and you're taken to the loyalty program board. Now, this is all cool, well and done, and we like this, but what if we try to use the graph for something more? This time, we want to use graph to actually do the ranking. Help us rank our items. We know that in SharePoint, we always get full recall on our queries. But what if we got help from the graph to actually rank the different items that we get back? So I cheated. So I have my page here, and I have Alina. Alina is logged in here. And we see we are both querying for program. But you see from the search results that the people that we get are actually different people. That's because we still have the same recall on it, but the graph tells Alina, she tells her that if you're searching for program, these are your ranked people. At the moment, she shows up at the top, but pre-production. And while you see it on my page, I actually get different people based on who I work the most with. And I think that's really cool. Another thing that we have is on the documents section. We have here that you can actually see, you see here that we have the same results, but there are different ranking here as well. And that's making the relevant content come find you. So when you search the most relevant to you, not only by what the query, what the hit highlighting is, but also what the graph tells you, that's what we show you first. So I think that's awesome. Okay. Yeah. So, let's see.
All the things you guys are seeing here is something that is currently in pre-production in Delve, but this will be coming to SharePoint to the experiences that I showed you earlier.
Great. So, now I wanted to get back to the scenario again, try to show some other demos. Not that we've shown any demos so far, so we're trying to show another one. When I search for email, I have my method of searching for email. So I wanted to take a short study here. When you guys search for email, how many of you use this method? By the show of hands, you search for the person that sent you that email. That's a lot more than I thought. Our data actually shows us that more than half of the people in the world actually do that. That's how they actually find the information that they want. They go by the people pivot to find the information that they want. So I'm in Word. I know that Alina sent me an email. She asked me, Leon, can you help me with something? And I need to get back to that email. I'll go to the search box again, because search box is, I like search box. So I go into the search box. I get here, as I showed you earlier, my latest query results, latest results just popping up to me right away. But this is from the pivot of, this is of the pivot and the context of me as going into my email. So when it comes to email, it makes sense to show me the recent searches, because I'll probably search for the same people again. So here I start typing Alina. And as you see, if I type Alin, we actually have the same thing here. And this is actually in production. So this just shows you that the fuzzy matching on names and the spelling errors, they're actually being fixed all across. So we don't have it only on one place. We are aligning the experiences across. And I think that's really cool that we show here that we're actually using the same parts, that we're not having an office that's in silos. Okay, so I'll search for Alina. I find Alina, and hopefully I don't run out of time. Alina told me that she wants me to make a Word document with some design ideas. And as a good worker as I am, I actually did that. I started this process. Okay. Yeah, thank you. So I'll go into my Word document that I actually started, and I wanted to add an image to this Word document. She also said that she wanted this image to be this document to be something that she can hand out in a meeting. So the first thing I do, I go to our new friends. Hopefully a lot of you were the first sessions?
Keynote.
Yes. So you go into Insert, and then you find our new friend called Tap. Tap is here, and Tap opens up, and Tap actually goes out, and you know what it does? It asks the Microsoft Graph, what's the most relevant documents to me? What are the documents you probably want to put inside your Word client at the moment? So this actually shows that we are using the Microsoft Graph not only from SharePoint Online and O365, we're using the graph also in the clients. So I see our loyalty program learnings, that's the document I want to know more about. I click that. It have already divided up the slides in that PowerPoint presentation. So I see it's not in slide one, not in slide two. Yeah, in slide three, that's the image that I want to embed. So I see here that Tap actually has gone out, fetched the document, and actually shredded it, taken it apart, making sure that I can actually get to the document, the image that I want. I add this picture because that's what I really want to have in my presentation, and it actually works, so it looks really good. Now, she wanted me to have it as a handout, so the first thing I want to do when I want to handout it, I want to rotate it. And finding the menu place in Word where you actually rotate a document from standing up to lying down, it's kind of hard to find. So, and what I normally do, I use Tell Me. Tell Me always helps me. So I'll type rotate. And it automatically figures out that, oh, do you want to change page orientation? Yes, I do. Changes to landscape? Perfect. It looks good. That's what I wanted to have. I'll store it, and then I'll just email Alina and tell her that, please use this document. Here you go. This is, let's attach as a OneDrive file. Cool. Then we send it. One last thing I wanted to show you is, I'm trying to go back to my scenario. I wanted to be, in my asset program manager for this team, I wanted to know more about the iOS app that Liang is probably building. So I go into Delve again, Since it's my preferred way of searching, I'll type iOS and search for iOS within the company. I find John Wang, who was the app developer, but I also find this cool thing. I don't know if you've seen it. You see here, we have a different icon here. And that means that it actually is a hybrid item. So now you can actually distinguish which items are on-premise and which one items that are in your index. Okay, let's not do that again. So I go to Liang's page to figure out, oh, he got on-premises documents. That's really cool. And then when I go to his page, I see that he actually has the first item in his document is actually a loyalty iOS app document that is stored on-premise. So, and when I hover over it, it actually shows me that I can actually click on it. So I click on it. And it says that to open this document, you must be connected to your company's network. And I think this is actually pretty cool that we now show hybrid items not only on search, but also in Delve. Liang, would you like to tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah, sure. I've been waiting for so long time already. let me introduce myself. Hi, everybody. My name is Leon, and I work from Contoso IT department. You guys put a lot of responsibility on us nowadays. And I have to say that creating app is just part of my work. And my main responsibility is actually to ensure Contoso employees are empowered with the best IT infrastructure and services so that they can obtain greater productivity at work and achieve more. Sounds familiar? Yeah. Okay, so in the next part of the session, I'll share with you a story from Contoso for using hybrid search. As you know, Contoso has been using cloud hybrid search since GA, and so far there have been several on-prem content sources fed into the O365 Unified Search Index hosted in SharePoint Online. Yong and Alina did a very interesting demo, and I'm happy to see that the new search experiences in SharePoint Home and Delve will honor on-prem results and better distinguish them through the new UX design. So a quick question, how many of you have configured reverse proxy for your intranet? Well, not that many, so I have an excuse because I didn't do that. All right, then the new search UX design. Well, I actually remind our users that they need to be in the intranet or use VPN in order to open those on-prem documents. And it's pretty useful. And hopefully, I just get fewer questions from Alina and Yong because there could just be confusions from time to time.
So, Liang, tell me, this is great that we can find content both that is on-prem and online easily. But why did Contoso choose to use hybrid search?
Just like many other companies, Contoso has been onboarding its intranet users to O365 for using OneDrive for Business. And our project team have also switched to use SPO for all kinds of team collaborations. In the same time, there are also intranet content systems that our users would love to discover information from by using search. And in the same time, we also have some on-prem SharePoint farms hosting business-critical data that can't be migrated to SPO in the short term. And on the other side, SharePoint Home and Delve can leverage Microsoft Graph and Search to strengthen the connection between the users and their daily work. So inspired by that, Contoso really wants its employees to be able to interact with not only cloud content, but also on-prem content in the same time. And cloud hybrid search can apparently fill the gap and bridge on-prem with SPO, where SharePoint Home and Delve are great entry points for people and information discovery, as well as other collaborations.
Well, I'm hard to convince. What other benefits there are for hybrid search?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll do that. Actually, I'll talk about that. So first of all, from an IT department's perspective, I would really love to see reduced cost in IT infrastructure and operational management. So many of you may have learned cloud hybrid search a lot from the past Ignite session or from online documentations. So basically, by feeding content sources from on-prem into SPO, Contoso has saved a lot of IT infrastructure and hardware for running the entire search system locally. Everything related to content processing, indexing, querying, search analytics are just handled and managed transparently in the Microsoft Cloud in O365. And all I need to do is to manage a very small SharePoint hybrid farm with a bare minimum search topology.
This almost sounds to be too good to be true. How much will we pay for this?
Well, I don't think it's expensive at all. You know what? Microsoft actually offers a free quota of 1 million hybrid index items just because SharePoint Online has recently boosted its default storage quota to 1 TB. And there is a mapping between 1 TB of SPO pooled storage with 1 million hybrid index items. So as Contoso continue to onboard more and more users to O365 or buy extra storage for content migration, we will just have continuous growing SPO storage quota, which allows us to have an even larger hybrid index quota. And you know what? If you just by chance had joined Neil Hodgkinson's session on Wednesday, which is more cloud hybrids specific, apparently we are able to build our own line of BCS connectors, which is based on the same cloud SSA infrastructure, to feed line of business data into SPO. And then I'm no longer worried if our project team just come to me and ask for making whatever content searchable in the cloud, because I know I just make it happen through Cloud Hybrid Search.
Well, that's great, but when we want to completely move to O365, can we do that? What will happen?
Yeah, I would say we should definitely continue our journey with O365. And you know what? What I love most is that Contoso can keep receiving the latest features and experiences from O365 and SharePoint Online. And our customers and users actually love to use online experiences as they have less and less dependency on on-prem farms. We can also gradually migrate and tear down those on-prem farms so that I can save eventually all the operational costs. And then I can just make sure Contoso is fully utilizing Microsoft Online Cloud. And then I can have enough bandwidth for you guys to create apps, maybe.
Well, I think it's time for us to conclude the demo part and step out of our roles as employees in Contoso and go into our program manager jobs in Microsoft. I think it's really great to hear about, you mentioned that being in the cloud actually provides us having less to do with the service and less to have to upgrade all the time. I really want you to explain a little bit more about how this works behind the scene.
Yeah. First of all, I would like to share some numbers for Cloud Hybrid Search since it's GA from March. So far, there have been over 800 tenants onboarded worldwide to use this feature. And there are over 300 million on-prem documents fed into SharePoint Online Search. And that's just a nutshell. SharePoint Online Search is a rapidly growing service in the past few years. And I'm proud to say that today, it holds world's largest enterprise search index. Every month, there are, that's good. Every month, there are over 20,000 CPUs together with thousands of VMs deployed into our search farms around the world to make sure we never run out of capacity. And I'm happy to share with you that we are able to onboard several super large tenants with hundreds of millions of index items. And with 100 billion index operations executed from search farms every day, the SharePoint Online Search Index has currently a 10% of month-over-month growth rate, and we're expecting to double its size in every 9 months.
Those are some impressive numbers, but why should these folks care?
Oh, wow, yeah. In my perspective, our customers usually intend to onboard to cloud service that are known to be popular and fast growing. And it's a very good guess that those cloud services just keep growing and growing because they're secure, reliable, and trustworthy. Just like O365, just like SharePoint Online. In the next slide, I'll actually talk about some benefits of SharePoint Online Search. So first of all, to align with SharePoint Online Search service excellence, our search farms are continuously upgraded with the latest J9 hardware and also operating system and their security updates to ensure our cloud infrastructure is always up to date. This may not be the most fun part for our customers or IT admins in their day-to-day life. So using Microsoft managed cloud would definitely offload them from those kind of operational management.
So I know that a lot of our customers are concerned about losing access to the service or to data. How are we making sure that that never happens?
Well, SharePoint Search has enhanced high availability tag that ensures all the primary and replicated search components are actually running on the VMs that are hosted on different physical machines. So with HA, we always ensure that all the search components, primary or replicas, they're always available online as long as there's network, and then also they're in a warm standby state, I mean those replicas. And you know what, if you're losing network, SharePoint Search also has the disaster recovery mechanism, which brings our fault tolerance story to the next level. For example, in a geography like EMEA or US, SharePoint Search has geo-distributed backups to make sure we're never losing customer index entirely, and it's always possible to do restore in a later stage. And this basically means that we are fully resilient to losing an entire data center, and we're able to fail over our search to another search farm hosted in a different data center.
What else is top of mind for our product team?
Well, the product teams are located in Norway, so during the winter time, we have nothing to do. Then we're just constantly working on improving the search service and then making changes to ensure our indexing freshness and query latencies can keep improved. And then as our search farms are growing larger in size and more in number, so improving high scalability, availability, security, and performance will continue being the key missions from our project teams. And we're going to deliver a lot of new features as well. Our patching train in SharePoint Farm, Search Farm, will continuously running day and night and deploy the latest bits to ensure that we can always give you surprises over time. And our high HA-based patching tech can also guarantee that there's absolute bare minimum impact and close to zero service downtime. So I would say keeping receiving new features is a great thing, and especially in on-prem, patching a super large search farm is definitely a lot of work and sometimes requires working in evenings. So I would say that utilizing SharePoint Online Search or utilizing O365 is definitely a good option, so you should definitely need to consider that. I know, Yang, you used to work as a SharePoint consultant. I think you're very happy that you're out of that patching business and you can work on feature planning going forward.
Yes. Right? Thank you, Liang. Thank you, Alina. Yes, it's true. I'm actually really happy that we now can spend our time, instead of updating the service, actually spending our time creating new value. I think it's now we have, we don't have that much time left. So let's try to go to the roadmap and to conclude this session. Because of how SharePoint and the cloud works, there will always be a gap between SharePoint on-premise and SharePoint online. But we're trying to do our best to close the gap where it makes sense. We are listening to you, our customers, and we're trying to get your feedback. And one of your feedbacks has actually been that you want us to do content enrichment in the processing pipeline. You want to do that, you want to and have that opportunity to do that yourself. And we're actually bringing that to the dedicated customers first. This is something that we're working on. And once we have it working there, we will actually give that offering to the whole of production. As Alina told us, we are working on search relevance, and this is something that we're not stopping. We're constantly using machine learning, A/B testing, to make sure that you get the coolest features and they work the best together so you can get the best ranking. In the area of search linguistic, we are improving our language detection. For some of you that are not from the States, you've probably seen that we have had issues with detecting the right language on both the query on the, and in the processing pipeline. But for our non-language customers, you will definitely see improvements because we are updating that in both pipelines. We're also bringing custom synonyms to the cloud. You like that, yeah.
That's good.
Allowing you to use this feature in SPO as well. Another thing that we're doing, we're actually taking in new bits from the newest word breaker that Bing has, and we're actually using the word breaker and tokenization service. We're taking that in and to allowing us to have the freshest bits across Microsoft, so we're actually taking in that as well in the cloud. You like that? No, I didn't care about that. let's see, what else are we doing? We are doing the search setting schema.
Yeah, we're actually exposing new word-breaking features through the schema setting. For example, language neutral word-breaking, finer grained query tokens. I mean, you guys will definitely like it. Just keep doing it. For example, I think we should answer questions, but let me give it an example really quick. Today, you may see that we have some multilingual customers in the world. Their search experience is based on their local language, for example, Chinese, Japanese, and Korean. And then, in the same time, the documents they're working on is just English. So somehow, there are also other metadata that are associated with the document that is actually word broken in the same language as the document, for example, English. And then on the other side, when they query, the query could be tokenized in a different way, like in a Japanese or Korean way. And then you will just have recall issues. So basically, by introducing language neutral word breaking from search schema in any managed property you want, then you can solve that problem nicely.
Okay, let's move on.
Yes.
You now see the new search experience. It's ready to use right out of the box. At the same time as we've given you that, don't worry. We are not taking away the Enterprise Search Center. We will still be able to do your customization of choice there. And at the same time, we want to give you this new out of the box search experience so you can use it where it makes sense. So you get the new stuff from us. At the same time, you will be able to shine with your customization of choice in the Search Enterprise Center. Today, we have shown you through the demos that enterprise search is getting personal and intelligent. We also shown you that we are aligning the search experiences across SharePoint and O365. We've shown you this through the zero term suggestions, search as you type, no reload when you search, you actually stay where you are, and really good performance. And not to forget the fuzzy matching. We've also shown you some of the benefits of running cloud hybrid search, together with that search actually knows where your context is, whether it's from SharePoint, as Alina showed, from Delve, as I showed, or actually stuff like in the client, like Tap. I think that's really cool. And also, we touched upon the advantages of running search in the cloud. When you leave today, no, this was when you leave. This is the related sessions. This is the last day of this conference. There's no related sessions left. So go online, watch these related sessions, and thank you so much for spending the time with us today.
Thanks a lot, guys, for joining. I have some shirts for the people who actually made it to the first session after the party. Those are mostly ladies' sizes, and I only have a couple, but please come forward and grab one if you want.
And remember to rate us.
Yeah,
your feedback is highly
appreciated.
Over
here to ask questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.